to the Chris and Sam podcast. Pull up a bar stool and join us for a random conversation, guaranteed to make you think or your money back.
Hello and welcome to episode 479 of the Chris and Sam podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sam. Welcome along to your weekly fix of randomness, technology and life. It's the only place you can get it. Don't try anywhere else. Hey, we've got our 500th episode coming up this year, middle of September. We are going to do a live show.
We're going to do a live show here in Hamilton.
Waikato?
In the Waikato. We've got a few options we're running down, so we'll see how we go. But keep that in mind if you're coming up this way.
If you're coming from overseas or from a different island or from a different city, we would love to see you middle of September.
Yeah, we'll let you know the specific date when we're a bit closer.
We did record our 300th episode in person, and the people that came along to that, their lives have been changed forever.
Yes, they'll never forget it.
I didn't say it was good, but it was just changed forever. No, shout out to everyone that supports us. Talking about that, this week I was on the Double Loop podcast.
The Double Loop podcast?
That's what it's called. Chris Hillock's podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yes. I was like, where do I know that from? Yep, no,
he
I remember.
He talks to filmmakers in the Waikato region and for some reason wanted to talk to me. So I think I am episode five or six, something like that.
Cool.
Seven maybe. Whatever. Interesting talk. We talked about Misty Flicks Film Festival. We had a big discussion around this podcast because It blows his mind that we're coming up 500 episodes, and we do it weekly, and he sort of wanted to get in on what that was all about, and we touched on some giant pumpkin stuff as well.
So we'll have a link to that in the show notes so you can...
When it
comes out, yeah. Well, okay, all right.
Yeah, not just yet.
Fair call. What's new with me? I'm going up to Auckland this weekend.
Yeah.
So I've got to film some stuff on Monday for a job. It's not a fun filming thing. It's like a council filming thing.
That's right.
So it should be fun for me, but like it's, it should be interesting. So that's the most exciting thing I've got going on.
I love how you assume nothing else is going on with me, Chris.
Oh, sorry. I thought you finished.
I am this year the city manager for 48-hour film weekend.
Are you?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
We just finalized it today.
Oh, okay.
So,
because Sash did a couple of years,
Sash and Mary,
more than a couple of years.
I don't know how many years they did it, but before that, it was what's his face from the Meteor? So that the guy
was that Benny,
from, yes, that's
from
it.
Meteor.
Yep. Yep. So the guy that had jacked up has pulled out the last minute due to something happening, which is fine.
Because that's not far away, is it?
No, it's like two and a half weeks away, I think. 2 weeks when this comes out. I've got a lot to catch up on.
Holy crap. But they would give you quite a bit of support because it's a national event.
A lot of support.
Yeah.
And they're not, they just need somebody in person in the city. And the weekend is pretty easy. It's the next 3 weeks after the weekend. I have to do a lot.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Involving a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of data. which I'm okay with, and figuring out.
Yeah, you're better at that than I am.
Yes,
yeah.
And doing some stuff. So Paige put my name down for that. She just sends me a message. Hey, I've told Ruth at 48 that you might be keen to be the city manager. It'll be great. You'll meet heaps of people. Thanks, Paige.
Oh, you'll love it, though. You actually will. I think you will.
I think so, yeah. I'm very excited.
I think it's cool. That's very cool.
They said to me, if people contact you on the Saturday, it's all about copyright. She goes, 99% of the time, someone will ring you and go, can we use this thing? And she goes, most of the time, it's like, no, you do not have the rights to that.
Yeah.
Oh. And then the Sunday is just submitting. But it's all digital now because of COVID. There's no physical thing on Friday. It's all virtual.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And when they did it for COVID, after COVID, everybody goes, we love this. So they're like, okay. So, they all just watching a live stream on Friday.
Right.
And they get all given the stuff. Not much else is happening. Hand-ins a digital upload.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way better. Actually, that is way better.
When you think about it, eh?
Because if I was doing it, because I did get asked in the weekend if I wanted to, if I was in a team, because we went to Rotorua this weekend for the site. So I took a tape measure and measured out this post shop that we're going to be using, turning into a dairy.
I've been to this post shop multiple times.
It's so cluttered in there.
There's so much stuff.
So we're going to have to move a lot because we've got to have a fight scene in there. So I took a tape measure, made a map. I'll show you a map afterwards. And so we sussed out that. We sort of walked through the fight. We've worked out what we need to move, and there's one glass shelf with trinkets on it. We're like, can we please move that? It's just too dangerous right there.
Yeah.
And it's on wheels, so it should be all right.
In theory, yeah.
Anyway, so that was cool. And then we found two other locations. Well, really one location we can use in two different aspects nearby.
Where? So what is it? Explain it to me.
It's on that beach where you were talking about. You go up the road further up and there's that park. And it's basically the first pull-in area for the park. And you just walk down around the corner and there's this dip. So we're going to have the guy running on the beach in the morning, and then the final scene of the film is in the afternoon. The beauty of that for us, everybody's bored at this point now listening to me. The beauty of that for us is we got four stunties and we want to get them all wrapped in one day.
Yeah.
So we've got these different scenes. We're like, can we do it all in one day in Rotorua and get it all done? So that's cool. That film got some decent funding.
That's good.
So pretty happy with that. So that's Matua. We're still working on the dates for actual filming. I've booked most weekends in September for it.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just like, hang on, our show is going to be a midweek show.
Yes. We should say that. Our show will be midweek. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Wednesday is the day we're going
probably
for.
Probably a Wednesday.
No, Wednesday works fine. Better for me too, after we had that conversation.
Yeah. Probably a Wednesday because we still got to get the venue sorted.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Since the last episode, I went to Auckland. I went to Kelly Tarleton's. Haven't been there since I was a child.
Pretty much. Well, I don't think I ever went there as a child. I went there as a teenager. But
One interesting fact I read on the wall. I did not know this, and it blew my mind. So Kelly Tarleton sets all this up. It sounds like it must have cost him a ton of money, and he's really big in environmentalism and all that sort of stuff. And in the first 7 weeks, they had 100,000 people come through Kelly Tarleton's. And it was all good, and then he died in his sleep at age 47 due to a heart thing. And he never knew that it became profitable.
The first, day?
No, 7 weeks. It was open for 7 weeks, and then he just died in his sleep. I knew he was dead, but I don't know it was that.
No, I just assumed he got old and died.
No, no, 47, way to go.
Whoa, God, does that make you feel old? Because I know Sasha's 47 this year.
I'm only 42, so I've got 5 years
away. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm not that old. I'm spring chicken.
Yeah, and I'm 57 this year. Speaking of old.
Yes.
Biden. President Biden in the States.
He's so old.
They did the correspondence dinner. Pulling the age thing. It was actually really good. And you should check it out. It's one of the guys from SNL that does the news read at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The white guy. There's a white guy and a black guy. I don't even know. I can't remember their names. If you told me his name, I'd remember, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Okay.
That was pretty good. That wasn't what I was going to say. Biden did a Trump this last week, and I wrote it down. I thought I'll still share it because I think it's quite funny. Biden basically said his dad may have been eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea, and or his grandfather, I forget which.
Family member.
Yeah, and it was some sort of family member. Yeah, it could have been anything, actually. I probably should say it'll have it here somewhere. But anyway, so the Papua New Guinea Prime Minister is all upset about it. So basically in World War II, an uncle had been lost in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
In World War II, and so he goes, meh, might have been eaten by cannibals, meh.
There's, yeah.
Jeez, that's how, why There's would a, you say that?
I don't know anything about Papua New Guinea, but there was a guy I used to work with, and his family were over there doing logging or something, and he was there as a young kid, and he said it is one of the scariest places around.
Oh yeah.
And he was saying you could kill someone, a child or whatever, and then boil them up and then have the bones, and then there was medical schools that would buy that off you, and that was like a business. And he said, yep. I was like, okay.
Yeah, a friend of mine, that my old landlord actually for a while, he was a friend of mine before I moved in that place. He worked over there doing – he was an IT guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing the security systems for the mines, like the click in and log in, log out with the fingerprints or whatever, that sort of thing.
Biometric.
Yeah, that stuff. Yep. But he was – so he'd do 2 weeks over there in Port Moresby, and he was like, it is something else.
Oh,
it
wow.
It is pretty scary. I mean,
would he have to have security with him, that guy, or not?
Well, no, I don't think they did. I think it was a pretty rough outfit, to be honest, that he's working for.
Got that good sweet contract, fly in, fly out.
Yeah, but he was, he had to go over there for 2 weeks every 6 months or something. So it wasn't like a lot.
Enough.
He told me enough stories about people just walking down the road with machetes and stuff. And
When you're in Auckland, you won't have time for this, but you should go into the car park of Les Mills International, because you know how they like doing their, whatever they call it, the releases?
Yeah.
They've got a body combat one coming up, right?
Yeah, I used to love doing that. Yeah. I used to go up there all the time for that.
So they're building like a giant pyramid thing, so all the trainers can go on this giant pyramid thing while they film it. That's their latest thing.
It's just like it's temporary for the film?
Yeah, it definitely looks temporary. It's just like a plywood step structure thing. And the guy said, hey, look, you know, over 100,000 instructors and 22,000 gyms use this. It's a big thing, blah, blah, blah.
It is huge.
Because they make all the money on the music, hey, I think we talked about. The soundtrack. Licensing of the soundtrack, was it?
Well, the licensing of
the whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah, because they sell the programs that they sell to all the gyms, and it has licensed music and the moves that go with the music.
The reason this is so big is this is the 100th release of Body Combat, and they've brought in 100 of the world's best instructors to film this one class, and they're going to put them all on this giant stage, which looks like a pyramid.
That's so cool. I almost wish I could go back just for that. Cause
they're going to sprint.
I was there for the first Body.
Okay, I can't work out if you were like 7 years old or they have multiple during the year.
I remember when it started out. I think I was still telling.
But they must do a couple of releases a year.
Yeah,
three,
they do
four?
A couple of
quarters,
two or three releases a year.
Yeah. I don't know. So they've got 100. These instructors are going to sprint up the flights of stairs, be positioned on every level of the film set, instructing the 200 people that are following them in the car park. They said, actually, when they did the filming during COVID in the car park, they were actually blown away with how much people really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, because you watch some of the videos from Les Mills of the big classes they
do. That's the concept.
Oh, wow. Of the big classes they do overseas. It's insane. It's insane. It's pretty cool.
I knew you'd like that.
Yeah, it was really good. I like that, yeah. There's a... There's a story here. I'm not going to go into too much detail with it, but there's a big push to fix the ticks in US Congress. So that's like Ticketmasters and tickets and stuff
good,
like
that. Oh, good, yes, because they're all scummy.
Yeah, so they have a big problem with scalpers over there.
Yes, okay.
And so that's part of it. But there was this other thing, which reading through this article, I got this and I was like, I'm going to mention the podcast because that just blows my mind. Currently, fake tickets happen a lot.
Yeah.
And basically what that is you get on Craigslist or something, you buy some tickets.
Yeah.
And these guys have just made some random tickets, printed them and sold them. And people go.
Yeah.
Sometimes they travel a long way, get accommodation, they go up, turn up, and they present their ticket.
And they're like,
scanner goes, nah, not genuine. That is not illegal in 48 states in the
what?
States.
That's so good.
That's not even illegal. So just start a business selling fake tickets because it's not illegal.
You would be doing that. Chris and Sam podcast / fake ticket company running out of here. What all those paperwork? Oh, don't worry about that. It's just some new tickets we're sending out.
It just blows my mind. It's like, it's not illegal? What do you... surely they do get them for some other things around fraud,
mail fraud
or something.
They love the mail fraud,
they
probably.
They do love the mail fraud over there.
That's mental.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, I thought that was mental. That's why I meant it.
Oh, talking about mental, I almost saw this dude get killed in Auckland. It was weird. So we went into a shopping mall. Don't ask me which one. It was a smaller one, or small car park, but big shopping mall. One of the Westfields. I don't know. And you drive in, and the
not
initial...
the St. Luke's.
I don't know. Could have been. Yep. The initial car park's got a little weird loop. Anyway, get to the end of the loop, and this car just comes, like, guns it straight out of a car park. It's backed in, but it comes straight out, and just slams its brakes on. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit weird. Just stop. And there's a woman... Now, there's a middle-aged guy out of the car already, but behind the car, and he sort of, I assume he's attempting to guide her back. She just chucks it in reverse, doesn't look where he is, and just floors it again. Absolutely, as far as, he sort of dives out of the way. I think his leg got clipped by the corner of the car. And he's just standing there. We're like, what the hell? She almost killed him. The dude looks at us. So I, like, give him thumbs up. Are you okay? And he's like, yep.
Is he on the ground still?
No, he's up. No, he didn't hit the ground. I think it grazed his leg.
Yeah, right.
But he's like, yep. And I'm like, I'm not very confident in that. And then we drove around and parked, and then they left. Like, so I don't know what they were doing. But it was real weird. And
I don't know what they were doing either, but it sounds like drugs was the answer to that question.
No, I don't know. I think terrible driving, maybe.
Cool. All right, I won't make terrible driving jokes. So did you hear about this monsters in the closet thing?
No, what's that mean?
So in North Carolina in the States,
yeah,
this toddler keeps going like, there's monsters in the closet, there's monsters in the closet.
Is it a serial killer? Is it real serial killers?
Well, she wasn't wrong. I say she, I'm not sure. I assume it was a she.
It doesn't matter. You've got a 50% chance, go.
They thought, oh, hang on, there's some bees in the attic. So they got a guy in with a wall heat thermal scanner thingy.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And it was like, oh, she goes, when he went down the wall, we thought there was a body in there. No, there were 50,000 bees. And he
and they couldn't hear them? Do they buzz? They must.
I don't know.
Even
they smack the wall.
No, it doesn't sound like
a hammer.
No, don't do that. The vibrations, they don't like that.
He smacks the wall with
a
hammer.
This is
he's a beekeeper.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Yeah, and then what happened?
He said the amount of honey that just came dripping down the wall.
Oh my gosh!
It was a pink wall, and it was dark honey. It just looked like blood coming out of the wall.
What?
And so the little toddler is now calls beekeepers monster hunters.
Yeah.
And the parents had to go, yes, honey, you're right. There was a monster, but we got rid of it. So they got rid of it. It was a lot of damage too, they said.
I don't know how you do not know.
$20,000 worth of damage to electrical wires. I don't think that's just to electrical wires, but it says that's what it says here.
There's too many questions on that one. Wouldn't you see bees in general entering or exiting somewhere and
I
go,
I think
that's...
they were going through the attic at the top and they didn't see them in the house at all, and they're coming in and down the... So they're coming into the roof, probably under the eaves, into the attic area, which they don't go into, and then it goes into the wall.
I don't know.
It's
a lot. And to be at the honey-making stage.
But, yeah, it's worth having a quick read through the Guardian story that I will put in the show notes. It's it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, the little – I still think it's a little girl is vindicated, so, yeah.
Very good. You've got this thing here. What's the water gun fight?
Oh, God.
Because I've got a sort – did you – I don't know if you've heard the story on My First Million talking about water fights.
No.
Okay, you tell me your story, and I'll give you the rest.
No, you tell me yours, because mine's a downer.
Well, mine is the start of this, of what yours is, I think.
Oh, okay.
So there's a game they're playing on college campuses, and someone's a target, and people got to go find them and shoot them with a water gun. Now, this is, I'm pretty sure, 99% the plot of a film from the 90s. And it was a paintball gun.
They all get given a target, do they?
Or I don't know about the current version, but in the movie I can remember, which I can't remember the name of, Adam, okay. Let me know what it is. I'm sure it's from the 90s. And I think what happened was they had a paintball pistol and they'd go find the person and shoot him. But at some point, I think they kill someone with a real gun or something. I don't know. Whatever. There's a movie. This is similar. They're going around. This dude hears from his kid or something, and he goes, so how do you do it? Oh, it's just a piece of paper. We pass it around. And he goes, oh, I can make an app that does that. So he makes an app called Splashy something, Splashes, whatever. And within 4 weeks, he's made $250,000.
Holy snot.
Like the first week was like $10,000. $40,000, $100,000, and then $250,000. And they were like, this app won't last very long, but this guy's raking it in. And I assume what's happened has led to your story.
And how does he get paid for that?
I don't know if it's ads or if there's a slight, I don't know, it could be a payment that you're going to pay, $2. Yeah. It might be like a $2 thing. Yeah. It's just spread quite rapidly, I think.
No, it's crazy.
I'm assuming someone just got shot and killed.
Yeah, Maryland, teens shot. One critically injured during water gun fight for senior skip day, which is, okay. Sounds like that sort of thing. They're looking for at least one suspect who shot five teenagers, one of whom was critically wounded.
That's slightly different because that's just sort of like a big water battle, I think.
Yeah.
But like who, I don't know.
They're all in a local park and they're just playing.
It's very sad that someone goes, oh, I could just start shooting kids.
Oh, you got water guns. My gun's bigger. Oh, God.
It's crazy. It's
just nuts. Americans are not nuts. Actually, just on that, have you heard the thing about, what's her name, Kirsty Noem?
I don't know who that is. Who is it?
Okay, so she's a senator. I want to say senator. She may be a congresswoman, senator, one of those things.
Yep.
In the States. And she's just, I think she's a senator, and she's just, or maybe a governor, fuck. Anyway,
it whatever. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So anyway, she's potentially, she's trying to be Donald Trump's vice president. So
he doesn't have one, eh?
No, like, no. Checked up. He had Pence last time, but Pence doesn't want to be with him after he tried to hang him.
Yeah.
Get him hung.
When do they announce this?
This weekend, Trump is having a 3-day celebrity apprentice style thing with all these people that are coming, want to be vice president. And he's going to question them over 3 days and get them to do things at Mar-a-Lago and then work out who it is going to be. That's this weekend. Oh, my God. This woman that we're talking about has been disinvited from that because she was a front runner. And one of the things you do when you want to be a vice president is you write a book. This has sort of been done a lot by people
before you become vice president.
Just to show people where you stand and side with the current. Okay. You're the person you want to
I didn't even know that. I did not know that was a thing.
So, yeah, I didn't know it was a thing, but apparently it's a thing. So she wrote this book, and in this book, she tells a story about this 14-month-old puppy that she had called Cricket, and Cricket was high-spirited, and she went hunting with him, and he was useless because he kept chasing all the birds. He was having the time of his life, and then she did something else, and then she went, oh, that's right, she went and visited some neighbours on the way home, like she lives rurally in a farm or whatever.
Okay.
And Cricket went and started chasing the chickens, killed a couple of them, because, you know, whatever. So she had to go and take him to the gravel pit and shoot Cricket.
Okay.
And then she went and grabbed the goat because the goat was smelly and ugly, and she didn't like the smelly, ugly goat.
Hang on. So while I'm there, I might as well just sort out this goat.
So I'll shoot the goat as well. So in the gravel pit because everybody just lost their mind over there in the States, right?
Okay.
You know, like puppies. Like there's other things you can do with puppies. You can – there's things called rescue.
Or rehome.
Rehome. All that stuff. No, gravel pit with a gun. Because she thinks it makes her look tough for
Trump. Is lost her this
And so she first defended it and goes, it's just life on the farm. The other week, we had a donkey and a horse that had some problems.
We blew them up with dynamite.
We took them to the gravel pit. And it's like, gravel dude, pit. You're not helping.
The gravel pit needs a new name. It's the killing fields.
I know. And so now she's not invited to come to this thing this week.
And is that Trump doing that? Is that him saying no? Or someone within his party group?
Somebody within his party.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Do you think it's, even though he's batshit or whatever, is it beneficial? There must be way more positives or not to be vice president.
He has already said, I don't know why anybody wants to be vice president. You've got no power and nobody cares. It's all about me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he said something along those lines.
I mean, you have to know what you're going into with him.
Oh,
but it's got
everybody who's trying to get in with him is batshit.
Okay.
Except maybe Marco Rubio, but I would argue he's batshit as well.
Okay.
Like anybody would.
But I mean, yeah, okay. Best case scenario is like you get in, you're vice president, and then Trump just drops dead.
Yeah.
And then you're president
that's
for a little bit.
Hoping, that's what the a bunch of Republicans are hoping Marco Rubio will go in because he's somewhat sane. He's not as conspiracy nut. Then they'll probably
he's quite young, eh?
Off,
youngish?
Yeah, and he's a lot younger, yeah. And then they'll probably off Trump and Marco take over. That's probably what they want. But anyway,
okay. Hey, here's a top tip for anyone looking for a bargain. Cash Converters has an online shop on their website, and it lists all the random stuff from every store in the country, and that stuff that's yes,
Cash Converters,
yes, and that stuff listed on their website they're not listing on Trade Me. So, the starting price on some of this stuff is really low. The buy now price, sometimes a bit iffy, depends on what you're looking at. And obviously it's Cash Converters, so you got to think. But I've seen some random stuff on there at some prices that seemed pretty good to me. But I don't know. But I just thought I'd let you know, because we're friends here at the Christmas Ham Podcast, and we like sharing things.
Actually, that reminds me of a story. I actually wasn't going to talk about it this week.
Okay, go into it.
But just because of... Because you brought it up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe I didn't write it down.
Good. Just rely on your memory.
Okay, relying purely on my memory. This guy in Mexico, he... that's not always too good to be true. That's the one there. This guy, I think he was in Mexico, or he's a Mexican guy. He saw something on Instagram. I'm going to read this out because it's so good.
Okay.
Mexican man has claimed victory over a French luxury brand Cartier. So he, according to Villarreal, he came across this low-priced earrings while browsing Instagram.
Yes.
So when you see something that's ridiculously low-priced,
you buy it.
You just assume it's a knockoff or it's crap, right? Like, that's what I would assume.
No, you just buy it.
Yeah, so anyway, he bought it. He said, I swear, I broke out in a cold sweat. This is what he said on X, on Twitter. And he bought these earrings for $28.
Yeah.
And then they went, oh, sorry, there was an error with the thing.
Yeah, of course.
They're supposed to be $28,000.
Yeah, we're missing a few zeros.
And he realized that. And they said, oh, we'll refund you the $28, send you a bottle of champagne and a passport holder as compensation.
The hell of a passport holder? Like a box?
It's a Cartier passport holder. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he went, nah, we're going to court. And they went to, yeah, it was in Mexico, and they went to a Mexican court, and the Mexican court said, nah, he bought them, send them the earrings. So you got this $28,000 Cartier earrings for $28.
Somebody got fired somewhere.
That's awesome. That's
pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I'll just move that across. Yeah, no, I just mentioned that because it tied in with what you just said there.
We're almost at the end of the podcast, so what have you got coming up this week? You did say you've got some filming on Monday.
So I've got some filming this week. On Friday this coming week, I have a speaking gig for the Virtual Speaking Success Summit.
Yeah.
So it's a two-day summit over in the States. I am speaking early Friday our time. Oh, it's a three-day summit, sorry. I'm speaking early Friday our time, which is Thursday afternoon their time.
Yeah.
So early is not early. It's only 7:30 in the morning.
That's good.
which is pretty good because most of my gigs tend to be like 4 a.m. It's free to attend, and we'll put a link in the show notes because it'll be good for anyone that's interested. Obviously, if you're not interested, you can register to attend because it helps me.
Yeah. Go and register to attend. You don't have to actually watch it.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be good. And I've got a bit of work to do this week just to make sure my presentation is up to scratch.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I think I'm just reading the 48-hour film competition website. So they told me to do.
Become a subject matter expert in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So they've got documents on all sorts of stuff. But they're really proactive about it. And she said, if you come across something and we do not have it written down, let us know. We'll just update it. Even on the website, we'll just update it like then and there. She goes, we couldn't do that previously. We upgraded the whole website. We can just update it basically on the fly over the weekend if we have to, like on the day.
Yeah.
So everybody can see it. I was like, oh, sweet.
Nice.
Sounds pretty good.
A little bit quicker than the Misty Flex website.
No, I can access that now, so I'm just doing changes left, right, and centre. Nice. So that's about it. Make sure to check us out, thechristmashampodcast.com.
And don't forget to put some time aside for September.
Yep.
Come and see us.
We would love to see you. For all the people that can't make it, we will probably set something up so you can send in some audio or do something.
And we will explore live stream because we live streamed the 300th, didn't we?
Yep, we did. We should be able to.
Yeah, we should be able to. Again, venue dependent and bits and pieces to be worked out, but we're going to look at that. Yeah.
So until next time, I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Hope you enjoy the show. Make sure to subscribe and we'll catch you next week. Don't forget to tell your friends.